Good evening. Thanks for that. It was nice. I looked all you poets that read before me, and I really take my hat off to you because, seriously, you guys are like real poets, and I mean that sincerely. I've known Jimmy for 37 years, I guess. Thank you for coming. But you see, I wanted to read last because my poems kind of can clear the wax out of your ears. And I don't want to really offend people, but sometimes I do. Shit, it happens. I deny everything, you know.
That's better,
Jim. Yeah, it's best. I want to start this out almost like an informative performance. On the 6th, we're going to do a performance. I'm bringing in about 5 or 6 actors out to Monroeville Mall. I wrote a book called Scales of Just Us, and we're going to perform that, and we needed more time. And I'm thinking about considering putting a theater out there in Monroeville so we can do, like, spoken word and cool stuff, but I have to really weigh that decision. But we are going to try at least once, maybe twice. Tonight, I'm just going to give you, like, a little collage of stuff, and I'm going to start out by plugging this thing back in. You unplugged it. I want you to listen to this.
The sun's coming up, gonna start my day. Troubles behind me, ain't gonna find me. The sun's coming up, gonna start my day. Troubles behind me, ain't gonna find me. No smirks, no snails, no puppy dog tails. No monsters, or meanies, or bullies on me. Just singing a song, just singing a song. Sun's coming up, gonna start my day. Troubles behind me, ain't gonna find me. The sun's coming up, sun's coming up, sun's coming up.
And we're back on again. And it's a poem. We're having a hell of a time here, aren't we? And we developed these characters, and we wanted to teach ethics. So what we did was we came up with Candy and Glow. And then we wrote 23 scripts, and we just finished 2 stories this week, myself and Dr. Adams. This is Candy and Glow, okay? This is Officer Cope. This is Sophia, and it's truth. Everyone has a virtue. Slick Rick for strength. Integrity, Zack Attack. All these had Dynamite Dom, who's autistic. So these all came Vic, Victory. Maria, Maria, because her mom has to call her twice. So Happy Hank, a guy who's just Zay Zay. His brother was murdered. Crystal Clear sees things. Pablo. Noble, a nobleman. Sassy Smith, her mother was murdered. Her real name was Tassie. And I wrote the stories. This is what it's about. This is how I live my life. This is how I've always lived my life. My nickname was Dog. And my colors were black for the dark, red for the blood of the broken hearts, and white for the purity of my soul. I was undercover, and I believed it. This was what I believed in, and I still do. Yeah. And I just did some of these shirts to aggravate, and this was part of my poem. This is, till pride and worse, the ambition, and then they tossed me down. That's when I got transferred, and I wore this for my bosses. And I used them long to hide my gun. That came from Paradise Lost. I have like 30 different things, you know. The dog saw it on the bank of the river and watched his enemies float by. This way that you conduct yourself. What I did was I had a short list, and I guess I lost my list, but it's okay. The Secret Society of Dog was published by Zoller. He's out in the hall somewhere. Oh, he published it, and he put this together for me, and the whole thing was, it all works for me at this. So the Society of Dog was, how can I tell you what the society is any more than Whitman could tell the boy what is the grass? I have been kissed by the sun many days, have grown old and tired, and the cosmos is large. Stealing just one line from Federico Garcia Lorca. But like arrows, the archers are blind. Now that goes on. And what I did was I just came out with Beware of the Dog, as well as Scales of Justice. And this segues into this. Doggy style. They say I got style. I've heard them say I strutted past. He got style. Doggy style. I got the nickname Dog because the way I pee, or maybe it could have been the way that I make love. Not really sure how I got the nickname, but I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with the way I smell or the way I scratch. I don't have doggy breath, at least I don't think so, or mange, but you might think I have mange because my real hair does sometimes look like I'm wearing a cheap wig. Some of my friends have called me Dirty Dog, but I bathe and I even use soap some of the time, although twice while working undercover I was accused of being a bag person. Once by a bag person who thought I was stealing his shopping cart, and once by the ladies at night court who thought I was going to rape them. I got to tell you, it's a little embarrassing. I've also been called Mad Dog, mostly because I foam at the mouth when I was buying heroin, and I guess you should know I bite people like a dog, and I once almost bit a guy's nose off while arresting him. I find comfort in the nickname Dog and formed a society, and it is a secret. I call it the Secret Society of Dog. Anyone can join, but there are many rules, and there is a rite of passage. Well, there are at least three rules, but they're a secret till you join the society. I can tell you one rule. You must be willing to sit on the bank of the river and watch your enemies float by. Anyway, I do have style, doggy style, and it ain't too bad if you want to run free, panting down an alley. Okay. Just me and the boys having fun. She said, you think you're Charles Bukowski, don't you? I said, no, I don't. Yes, you do. I said, I don't even try to think I'm Bukowski. She says, you sit around in a dirty t-shirt, belch real loud, fart real loud, scratch yourself real loud, sit in your room real loud, type poems real loud, talk to yourself real loud, laugh to yourself real loud, and you're quiet real loud. I said farting and belching are better odd, and I don't talk to myself real loud. You shouldn't be listening to my quiet, even when it's done real loud. She said, I can't help but listen. Your quiet is loud, or sometimes you're mad real loud, like crazy real loud. I asked, crazy real loud? She said, like when you're writing poetry, I can hear you barking and singing strange songs and swearing, even cursing at God. I said, first of all, you shouldn't be listening. Secondly, barking is healthy, and even a shrink will tell you that singing alone is just cleansing the soul. And even Mark Twain wrote, and even Mark Twain swore, and I'm not swearing at God, I'm talking to God, which is different. She said, you do swear at God, I've heard you. In fact, you swear and shake your fist towards the heaven. I said, God doesn't like sissies. And he's tired of everyone asking for the same stupid stuff. God, I need money, and God, if I get this promotion, God, help me with my screwed up kids. Help me, help me, help me. God hates the begging and whining. In fact, God tells me he's tired of your shit, too. She said, God never told you that. He's tired of me. I said, yes, he did. In fact, God said, you should do more stuff for me, like fix me a sandwich. And God says, there's never such a thing as too much mayo. He said, God never said that, but I'll fix you a sandwich anyway. I said, I don't think I'm Bukowski. I'm better than him. He had limitation. Women and the drinking, racetracks, fighting. He never had war, real war, fire in the smell. He never had drugs, heroin and cocaine, men with gangrene and pregnant women with AIDS. He never had to bury a whore. Tell a grandfather that his grandson had been shot and died on the dirty sidewalks. He had never had to lie and hold a woman's hand who lost love. He never had to cut the rope of the hang. He had never had to wake up in the middle of the night sweating, hearing the hammers of a gun fall. He never had to measure the dead. I sometimes swear with God, we both know the dirty words. Sometimes we bark together, but we love to pretend we're dogs. Sometimes we pretend we're horses, and sometimes we're birds. Sometimes me and God pretend we're snakes, and we coil around each other and laugh like we're monkeys. And sometimes me and God even cry. I wipe his tears and he wipes mine. Sometimes me and God fall asleep together, and guess what? We both snore. Sometimes we invite Bukowski to our party and that old bastard shows up drunk, but we all get along. He reminds me that he has a typer that made cash, and for me, it's okay to try. She said, you better take your medicine. I'll fix the sandwich. I said, you can put monkey meat on it and easy on the baby seal sauce. She said, you're crazy. I said, so was Mozart, Van Gogh, and Nietzsche, and guess what? We talk with God. She said, that's nice. I said, next week we're planning to go out and visit a whorehouse, and you're not invited. She said, I'll get you some soup with a sandwich. I said, not too hot. The guys hate to burn their lips. I went into the room and told the guys, I better not mention Harper or she'll think I'm really crazy. The guys said, shouldn't have mentioned the whorehouse, and I hope she makes tomato soup with hot roasted red peppers. We're tired of chicken noodle. I said, let's get busy and write, because somewhere there's a guy making a nuke and twisting the bolt too tight. They both said, yep, twisting the bolt too tight. We could hear the wrench fall and Satan crackle real, real loud. Wow. I'm going to, you don't know what the hell I'm going to read you. I had a marker, but I lost my marker. I asked her before what I could read you, and she said none of them. what I did was a belladonna on Prozac. I'm just grabbing it random here. An ogre of a woman came into my store and she had a certain glow and a nice smile. Asked, are you hiring? I asked, do you have a name? She said, Belladonna. I said, have you ever worked in a deli before? She said, no. I then asked, have you ever been touched and been in trouble before? She said, yeah, I just got out of jail. I'm in a halfway house down the street. I asked, for what? Belladonna said, for murder. Murder? She said, yep. I had to sit for 13 years. I murdered my stepfather. I said, well, that's nice. How did it happen? Belladonna said, he made a play for me. I was just a young teenage flyer, so I stabbed him. I said, you stabbed him? She said, yep, with a butcher knife. I stabbed him 3 times. I says, that's nice. Did he deserve it? Belladonna said, yes. But the stabbing didn't really kill him. It was the shotgun blast. I asked, shotgun blast? Belladonna said, yep. I jumped on his back, stuck him 3 times, and then on the way down, my mother blasted him with the shotgun. I said, your mother blasted him? Yep, he needed blasting. They didn't find his body right away. Scratching my ass, didn't find the body. Belladonna said, tough burying the dead, yada, yada, yada. I said, that's nice. She said, well, one thing for sure, none of the customers will be intimidate me. I said, I'd bet. She then asked, well, do I get the job? I said, well, we just hired someone, but fill out an application, and if there's an opening, but honestly, honesty is important, and you're not allowed to steal, and we don't like lying. She said, just because I murdered someone doesn't mean that I'll steal. I said, that's nice. I then asked, how are you doing now? She says, as long as I'm taking my Prozac, I'm fine. I said, that's important. Don't miss the magic meds. She says, I only made one mistake. I asked, what was that? Belladonna said, I didn't bury him deep enough. I said, yada, yada, yada. Sometime, how I understood, told her I'd give her a call if there was an opening. We both knew that although there's trustworthy murderers, and sometimes people needed blasting, a busy deli is no room for a lazy great digger on Prozac. True story. I want to read you this one. Oh God, these are terrible. There was a poem, it's called Becoming a Man. This was pretty cool. This guy, well, it's not cool, but this guy was killed. A guy killed him and then he cut him up in pieces, okay? And after he cut him in pieces, he went back to jail. I'm just gonna read you the end lines. And the guard asked him, he says, you did this terrible thing. He said, and the guy's name was Blade. Blade looked at the guard, and the guard says, he said, you killed, the guard said, you killed my best friend. I gotta ask you, how could a human being do this to another human being? Blade looked at the guard. I'll answer your question if you can answer mine first. The guard said, fair. Ask your question. Blade said, it's a two-part question. First, did you go to Viking's funeral? The guard said, he was my best friend. Yes, I went to his funeral. Blade asked, well, tell me, was he buried in one box or he was buried in several little boxes? These are the kind of people that you meet along the way. Becoming a man. All right. This is a Vietnam poem. Those people still go back there and they're still, you know, they still want to kill Jane Fonda. One guy was still mad at Muhammad Ali the other day. He wants to, you know, he's mad because they lowered the flags. And but, you know, I don't live like that. But I was young and I wanted to go, and I was just a little boy, and I wanted to find out why. Why they did this, because my friend had been killed. Of course, it's the passage of right. You know, there's certain things that are the passage of right. When you're a young man, I don't know for women, I got the test for a young man, like swearing, smoking cigarettes, getting into a fight, boasting, a first girl that you kiss. Of course, war would be up there, you know, and either to go or not to go. That would be the passage of right. You're taking a position. There's a lot of things, but... I was reading Celine's book, Journey to the End of the Night, and I fell asleep. And the book, heavy on my chest, I woke half asleep in the dark of the morning and was back 40 years ago at Benoit. I remember working the tire and looked over the fence through my binoculars. I was in the tire for over too many hours alone with too much time, silence and prayer and thought and masturbation. Nobody would tell you, but when you're alone with silence, you pray and sometimes play with yourself. It wasn't entirely my fault because I would look beyond the barbed wire at the Buddhist temple and see the bald-headed monks with long white and gold robes. They always walk slowly with their heads down, always, always with their heads down into the white temple, and I think they would go inside and pray. At least that's what I believe the monks did when they went into the temple. But somehow, sometimes, someone on the Buddha hill would shoot at us. I can still remember the sound of the whiz of a bullet and the crack of a rifle. I was glad whoever was shooting at me was a bad aim. Or maybe I wouldn't be writing this poem. But who knows? Anyway, it wasn't all bad sitting in the aisles of the tower all alone, because there was silent except for the F-100s and the Cobras, that sound of roar that goes away except inside your head. You always hear the roar. Anyway, I'd sneak dirty magazines with me and hide them under the sandbags. Me and my relief knew where the magazines were hidden, and we never told anyone, because if the brass found out, they would surely court-martial you and send you away for dereliction of duty. They would probably accuse you of thumping yourself, but only a fool would admit to self-pounding. Now, as I said, it wasn't my fault. A young girl in the rice paddy surely must share some of the blame. Every day she would come into the field and work, and there was always a water buffalo and hot sun. It seems like there was endless green water all the way up to the Buddha Hill and White Temple, almost like a postcard, except for the barbed wire was picture perfect. I watched the girl for hours. She had such beauty and grace, and she had long silk hair that hung down her back, touching the top of her ass, and she would bend over all day, hours led to hours picking rice. I watched her sometimes during the day, and she would pull down her black silk pants and pee right in the green water. It was beautiful, and she was beautiful, and I watched her the binoculars and thought, she is not my enemy. She is to everything, and if given a chance, I would fall in love with her. I'd even take her home with me when this stupid war was over, and I bet she'd love America. I watched till my eyes grew tired, and continued to watch her pulling the rice under the all-day sun. She was beautiful, and sometimes she would take all of her clothes off, and she would wash herself in the green water. She would pull her white blouse over her head, long, skinny arms, and she was golden, small breasts, skinny, long, silk, black hair, and then she would pull off her black pants and hang them on the back of the water buffalo. I'd watch as she'd raise her long, thin arms and wash her pits, and then she would wash her small breasts, and she had skinny legs and a small patch of hair. And she was so beautiful and earthly, and I was so young. And even more, you can find love. Young boys in war think of girls at home, and they say apple pie. And one day the colonel came riding up in his Jeep. Everyone knew him because of his eagles and he had white hair. I was afraid of him and didn't really like him. 10 months earlier, he had put me in jail because I drank too much Vietnamese beer. And he let me sleep it sober, and he threatened to keep me in jail. He even caught me drunk again, if he ever caught me drunk again, and made me clean the shit house and fill sandbags, and didn't take my one stripe. And I guess he could have if he wanted it, but he probably felt sorry for me because I had pimples. But I'm not really sure why, and never will, because it's not like he ever told me, and it's not like he'd ever remember taking and letting me keep my one stripe. Anyway, I slid down the 60-foot tire, and he pulled up with his Jeep, and I cracked my best salute because I knew colonels like to be saluted. But to tell you the truth, I thought it was a crock of shit. But I saluted anyway. I don't remember much about our conversation, except I didn't want him climbing up the tire. I figured he'd look around and find the dirty magazine, since of course there would be an inquiry. We made small talk, and I remember he remembered putting me in jail. I asked him just one question, and I remember it even after 40 years. I asked, Colonel, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, what is the question? I asked, am I a man yet? He winked and smiled as he drove away, smiled and shook his head. I returned the salute and climbed back up the tire, all proud, picked up my binoculars and felt the weight on my chest of Celine's book and looked for the beautiful woman. Okay. This is justice. Okay. This is about the little girl. Her brother was killed. She represents him. And I'm going to finish this up with this. And she's talking to her brother. She's defending the guy that killed her brother. And Tommy said, is this what it's about? justice? Have you forgotten Ricky was your brother? Have you forgotten Isaiah is Ricky's son? Maybe it's about you, Crystal. Maybe it's about what happened in Philadelphia. You let getting even with what happened to Mom. Maybe it's the policeman that came knocking on the door. Maybe it's about tennis shoes and getting ready to run out the door when the dishes get broken. Maybe it's a promise about being your brother's keeper or turning the other cheek when there's nothing else to keep and nothing else to lose. Maybe it's about you not ever being able to let go. Maybe you're wrong and sometimes pride gets in the way. Maybe you've become godlike and forgetting that it's all about pride before the fall, and you're falling and you're going to crash and break into 1,000 pieces. Your heart no longer feels, and you can't see except what you've read in the law books. Maybe you've forgotten the pain. Maybe you're going to wear tennis shoes to bed every night and hide under a blanket. But I'm not going to let you hide Isaiah under a blanket. I'm not going to turn my cheek to your blindness and your unfailing justice. Crystal slapped her brother, Tommy, across the face. Last thing I'm going to play for you. Now, I did this first song on purpose because that song was in my head. I did this 17 years ago. This. I just want you to listen to the end song. This was a complete symphony to, it's called Black Granite. It came from a poem I wrote. Dr. Tiberio wrote this. I helped say what I wanted in this. We had 110 people on stage. Now, someone said to me the other day, I'm numb from that shooting of 100 people. I'm numb. I've been there. I can't describe that to you. I've seen it on a small scale, like three people murdered, five people in Wilkinsburg. I've seen it on a very small scale. Okay, this is a large scale. But the numbness, and I know what the police are going to go through. I know what the all the doctors, I know that. And I know about the horror. And I told this guy, I said, this is so bad, so numbing. This guy said to me, he goes, what do you care? They were just queers. I went, wow. And I went, wow. And then I said, this, I know the solution. I showed you Candy and Glow. I showed you the virtues. I showed you that as poets. You guys are better poets than I am. You can make a difference. You guys can put the word out there. It has to be done. We have to keep doing it. We have forgotten, I know the solution, we have forgotten that we are citizens of the state, the city, the state of Pennsylvania, United States of America. We have forgotten that we're sitting citizens, all of us. We have forgotten that we are children of the universe. We have forgotten that. And we lose track of that. Now I want you to listen to this because this was done by the Pittsburgh Symphony. I had 47 of them. I'm telling you, I had 110 people on stage.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to thank you for that. I know as poets, you can do it, you can make a difference. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Thank you, all the other poets that read. See you next week.